Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage episode number. I'm not going to give it a number because that just ends up complicating things in the future. So I will instead call this the App Compat episode. I'm Chet Haas from the Android UI Toolkit team.
I'm Fake Tor from the British office here.
Hang on, wait a minute. That is not Tor's voice. What is going on here?
Fake Tor. That's who I am, and that's who I'm going to be for this entire episode. I'm going to be British Fake Tor throughout this entire
episode.
That is
the worst Tor accent I've ever heard.
It's a British accent, not a Scandinavian, whichever country Tor comes from, accent. Who's next in line?
No. Okay, fully qualified. This is Richard Hindman from the Android. Well, in Scandinavia, you pronounce it Hindman, but here we are in the UK. Richard Hindman from the Android DevRel team, who is stepping in for Tor because Tor doesn't happen to be in London, where we happen to be this week. So he's basically auditioning to be the next Tor. We'll see how this goes today. Today, Fake Tor and I are joined by
Chris Baines from the Android Developer Relations team, I guess what we're called.
Wait, you're on DevRel, but we tend to talk about code, so why are you here?
You taught me, I don't know.
are you being Fake Tor as well?
I can be Fake Tor, but I can't do as good as a British accent as Rich.
And my fantastic British accent. Well, I don't know why Chris is here, but I don't know why you are here, Chet. Why the droid's donuts is Chet over in London?
Should I say the real reason was to get away from Tor for a week, just for an episode,
me.
You know, try it.
I am
in Europe because I will be speaking at the DevOps conference, which happens next week. And for some reason, I thought it would make the trip work out a little better if I stayed a little bit longer to go to London instead and then ended up speaking at the DroidCon conference. So I took what could have been a 5-day trip and extended it to 2.5 weeks. So I may not go home because at this point my family may just kill me. So I've been in the London office for the week and talking a lot with Chris about support libraries. So we thought we would talk about the stuff that he does there. So Chris is on the developer relations team, but actually you tend to write a lot more code than going and doing conference talks and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I'm on the engineering team of developer relations, so we don't just concentrate on stuff like outreach or helping partners. We actually do engineering, so stuff like samples, technical support, but also starting to go into libraries. So yeah, that's what I'm working on for pretty much the past 18 months.
So you started 18 months ago?
Yes.
And you're just okay. And your starter project was
App Compat,
and at that point it was.
So App Compat kind of started before my time. I think it was 4 or 5 months before I started, and for resource reasons, I guess it kind of stalled.
Didn't we announce it at the I/O before that?
Yes,
it was announced at least a year before, I think, for then.
Yeah, but luckily,
we're just waiting for Chris to come along.
We needed to build, you know, the marketing hype. I think that's the hallmark of any successful product is to talk about it before it's ready.
Yeah. So we kind of got lucky in a way because the community kind of stepped in for this. So Jake, who you had on a couple months ago, he wrote Action Bar Sherlock, which did pretty much what App Compat was released to do. So the community stepped up themselves and they had their own solution, which was great. But we need our own, mainly for reasons of what we'll talk about in a bit, in that we can evolve it with the actual framework. And so the first release, which was last I/O, 2013, that was basically having an API which allows to backport the action bar to sort of an ICS level. It didn't really go any further than that. And to be honest, it didn't really offer anything above what Action Bar Sherlock offered. It was pretty much the same. So there was no real reason for developers to move over at the time, because we offer the same stuff, and it's just more engineering costs for them. Since then, we've kind of kept evolving and kept engineering on the actual product, and it's, you know, it's got somewhere now where it's good. We've now at a point where we have mostly a support library which is kind of API level with the actual framework, which is not the first time we've ever had that, which is great.
Yeah, they're sort of rendering things that obviously can't be done because those are sort of, you know, deep capabilities in the framework that you can't simply port over code.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be things which we can't do, like shadows. Like, how the hell do you do shadows pre-al? It's just it's really hard because it's so tied to the underlying framework and the GPU and all that stuff. So I didn't touch that. I decided not to even try. There's other stuff like ripples, which we haven't done either. But there's also a lot of stuff which we have done. So Toolbar, which is kind of the big headline thing really for App Compat. So Toolbar is, if you don't know, Toolbar is something which, it's a widget. So we've basically unbundled the action bar into its own proper widget, which you can use anywhere in your layout. So you can animate it, you can change the size, you can do whatever you want with it. And so that's in the framework, and then that's being backported to App Compat. So it works all the way back to API 7, which is Eclair.
And is that all the same capabilities for Toolbar as you find in the framework in the L release?
Yes, I don't think there's anything. Yeah,
nice.
I think the functionality is exactly the same.
All right.
It's cool.
So there was something else that was new in to my understanding, in the L release of the App Compat, which was a different approach to theming?
Yeah, App Compat's theming.
That?
So the great thing with L is that we have these new kind of meta attributes, I'd call them. So we have color primary dark, and color accents. And now they allow you to brand your application really easily by setting those three attributes. So color primary will be used on your action bar background. Color primary dark will be by default used on your status bar background. And then color accent is used throughout the system for system widgets. So things like checkbox or switch or edit text, they'll all be sort of colored using this color accent for its highlight color, basically its activated color. So that's great for L, but obviously we didn't have that beforehand. I spent a good month or so hacking the App Compat themes to actually support this, which is great. So a lot of it was easy. So stuff like Toolbar, I mean, it's just set in the background. But coloring widgets has been a pain.
More detail.
So the way it works in Lollipop is that we have a new functionality, the two bits of functionality which allow this to work. We have drawable tinting, so you can actually tint drawables using the color, which is great. And then we also have the new functionality of using attributes within drawables. So if you have a look at some of the Lollipop internal drawables, you'll see that they actually have references to theme attributes. Now, that only come in Lollipop. So before that, we don't have that functionality. So number one, we can't get access to the drawables when they're inflated. And number two, we can't actually access theme attributes. So in App Compat, I've kind of hacked together something that kind of works with their own tinted sort of widgets. So we have a number of tinted widgets which get inflated when you inflate your layouts. So stuff like checkbox, radio button, edit text, and a few others.
So these are totally new implementations of those widgets?
No, they're not totally new. They extend from the normal framework versions. So you get all the normal framework implementation, like all the actual functionality from there. But we build upon it, and that we kind of intercept certain drawables and we tint them manually. So you still get the tinted functionality, basically.
So one of the things interesting about this is you can have the capabilities to sort of get an L-friendly version of your app on prior versions.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So you can't, if you were to use the framework version of everything, not App Compat, then you either do material theme or you don't. If you're running on V21, then you do material theme and you get all these capabilities and the theming stuff and the tintability. Otherwise, you're running on a prior release and you're getting the themes in that release. But through using App Compat, you can actually brand your application and make it material design friendly and looks good on L, and it'll also look fairly consistent on prior releases through the stuff that you've done in App.
Yeah, I mean, that's the end goal, is to have a consistent kind of experience across all the devices. With previous versions, we tried to do it, but we just ran out of time. So this is the first release where, as I said, we've released a support library which allows you to do this at the same time that we've released the framework to do it. Which is kind of new for us, and it's great because it means that developers can jump on this really early. Not just external developers, like internal developers have also been, so all the apps teams have been using this. And they've been extensively testing it, which has been great, and it's been good and bad, in that it's been great that they've tested it, but it's also been bad in the number of bugs I've had from them, which has been great.
Can you just write code without bugs to begin with? Is that a better approach?
I'm sure you can.
Sure. If I get time to code sometime, I'll try that approach. Let me just make a note of that.
All the way through when Chris said he was hacking stuff together, he meant he was carefully crafting in Android Studio using the tools available, of course. And yeah.
Hacking means something different here than it does in the US. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just, I like the fact just the British way of putting it.
I like the fact you got lint tools in studio in there.
Thank you very much. Representing.
Although, Tor, we have a problem at the moment with Android Studio in that it tells people not to use App Compat on V14 Plus. Are you going to fix that?
As always, with the tools, you can always go. It's developed in the open at tools.android.com. Just go and check there at the issue tracker.
Well done.
It's already addressed.
Great answer.
Now, if this were an actually virtual tour, but real tour, you would probably actually have your laptop open and fix the bug in real time.
Maybe tours. It's probably already fixed. Right now.
Yeah. All right. So, other elements of App Compat, either new in L or where it's come from. Anything interesting to say about it?
Not really. So App Compat has been mainly... So the goal of App Compat is to be... kind of give you a layer on top of the framework so it's consistent over all the different versions. So on Lollipop, you know, you get the Lollipop APIs. But before that, we kind of try and give you the Lollipop APIs. So there's not really anything especially new in there other than what you already have in Lollipop. Other stuff we've been working on, it's been Palette. So Palette is a library... It's kind of like my toy project for I.O. It allows you to extract a sort of a palette of colors from an image. So it's great for things like, but there's loads of material sort of samples and mocks and stuff for this. But it allows you to have, influence the rest of your UI with an image. So if you have some massive hero image, so things like a music player, you have album artwork. Now that is going to take up a large amount of your screen because it's not a big thing, it's the big kind of consistent thing you show in the UI. But wouldn't it be great if that actual image could influence some of the other bits of your UI? So it looks kind of cohesive. So that was basically why I wrote Palette. It allows you to extract colors and use them elsewhere.
So you can combine that with the tinting stuff that you did to extract the colors and then tint the drawables on the fly?
You kind of can. It's hard, though. It's in trouble because themes are immutable.
So okay, you can't actually... So the stuff that you did was around the themes, but didn't you add tinting capabilities to drawable as well?
No, not to drawable.
Oh, okay.
Drawable.
No, not drawable. That's right. You did it through the views.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so on the platform, when you're running on the platform version, you can set the drawable colors dynamically. Otherwise, so how would people use this in App Compat then?
You would extract your palette.
Set colors.
Yeah, exactly. So just set background color, set text color. And the great thing with the new version of Palette, so since the preview, is that it now has text color generation. Mm-hmm. So that was the big thing which external developers were asking for. And there was no reason really not to add it. So you can now, say you get a swatch, is what we call it. So you grab a swatch from the Palette, and it's a dark blue. Now, what if you actually want to display some text over that? You can kind of guess, like do your own text color generation. But it's kind of monotonous and hard to do. So that's why I've added it to Palette. So for each swatch, it gives you two colors, and they will be legible on top of that color. So you can rely on them being legible and have enough contrast, and et cetera. So they're great, really. It's great for... So there's a number of apps in Google who are actually using Palette. The Contacts app is probably the one that is the most prominent one. So when you actually go into a contact, it'll pick out all the colors from the sort of contact image, and then it'll sort of color the rest of the UI.
So you were talking before about doing the tinting with the themes for like toolbar.
Yeah.
Right. So it'll color your action bar appropriately in the status bar. So then how would you color those items?
You would have to do it manually by calling set background.
Okay, so you can change the background color on the action bar anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not that the theme color is gonna clobber what you can do.
No.
Okay.
So we can change the total app theme, the action bar theme and the system bar theme.
You can. So you can use the standard get action bar dot set background drawable, I think. And then for the status bar color, you can call get window dot set status bar color. That's only on L.
All right. So that was in support lib. So one of my confusions around the support lib is is there's these sort of two worlds of it, and you work primarily in one that I haven't dealt with as much, which is the app compat world, which is really the intention to say, what are all the framework APIs, and let's make sure that they're at least available and try to behave when they can with similar behavior. And then the other world is this myriad of other smaller libraries, of which Palette is now a new one, where we have, Palette is what, V7?
V7.
Okay, V7 Palette, Recycler View, Card View are both V7. We've got
Grid View.
Grid View is in there. Grid Layout is in there. Sort of a smattering of other things. Like, if you want this piece of functionality, you can just add this library to your project, build against that, and then use this widget, which is a totally different thing than App Compat. This is like new functionality that we're adding in there.
Yeah, it's just the way it's. So there's no real way to add this stuff without. So there's no real way to add it as separate libraries. So all this stuff is very much dependent on each other, as it is in the framework. So it needs to be one library, and there's no real way to do that nicely at the moment. There are plans to make it a bit more modular, but not yet.
And everyone should be using ProGuard or some other stripping tool when they do this, right? To make sure that, like, if you're adding a huge amount of libraries, but all you need is Palette support, make sure to strip everything else out.
Yeah, exactly. And the great thing lately is that all the support libraries have kind of been split off into their own little libraries. So, like, Recycler View is its own library, Palette's its own library. Mm. So you can include what you need. You don't have to include. It's not the Big Bang approach. We have to include everything.
Yeah. Although everything of V4 gets pulled in by all of those libraries.
Yeah, right? That's the...
Yeah.
V4 is a bit of a weird one in that it was the first. So V4 is the first one, if I remember rightly, and I think was it for Diane's fragment backport. I think that was the reason why it was created, and then it's grew into this kind of behemoth of shims and random widgets. So things like draw layout and view pager, they've all been added into it. So it's massive now.
Yeah.
But a great thing is Tor. Tor's new functionality in the tools allows you to strip unused resources. So when you actually build your app in Gradle, you can...
just add it into your Gradle script now, yeah. Minify and that other one that I added in recently.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
That's great. I've heard lots of people using it, and they've saved like megabytes on their APK just through resources not being used in libraries and such. So it's great.
Sounds like they were lazy developers. They should have known. Stripped them out.
Okay, so how do I assume that anybody that finds their way to this podcast is probably already using App Compat and SupportLib anyway. If they are not, and they're new to this concept and they want to get on the train, what's the easiest way for them to actually start developing this stuff?
I've tried to make it fairly easy recently. So there's been two blog posts on the Android Developers blog.
Yeah, we should put the links to those in the show notes.
So there's one called... Implementing Material Design, which is a kind of generic blog post on actually picking out some of the bits from material and like showing you how to do it, both with L and also backporting on App Compat. But there's also a separate blog post called App Compat V21. I can't remember the title. But it goes into the in-depth of how to actually use App Compat, how to set it up, how to migrate if you're using an older version.
Some of those details are not obvious. Like there's some links on the Android reference pages where, you know, at the point where they tell me to open the build.gradle file, I think that's something people don't stumble upon accidentally, right? You know, enter the following line of code, you know, telling you to pull in the App Compat V21 or whatever it is. So I don't know if that's going to get any more obvious over time.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, the SDK tools at least allow you to download it. Like you can download the dependency? No, you can download the module, so at least it's available to the tool, but you still need to sort of manually tell your project that there is a dependency on this thing.
Right? I don't know about real Tor, but fake Tor always still goes to Gradle Please and copies the lines for the imports.
Gradle
the
project.
Dependencies from GradlePlease.com. It's much easier that way.
Okay.
It's either that or Stack Overflow.
Yeah.
Just getting that exact format right with the colons and the plus and that. Although now in the tools, we've now added a little check to advise against using plus on the support library for newer versions. So you should actually specify the version of the support library that you want to use.
And why is that?
Caught out by newer versions coming in and getting automatically built into your project by using the plus.
Yeah, so for instance, if you were to set just a plus on outcome about V7, then when V21 come out, your project wouldn't have compiled. Just because there's so many changes in outcome pat, it was just not API compatible.
This happened during the developer preview as well, the Android L developer preview. You had a plus, you were trying to build your production project up with 4.4 in the latest real support library. And if you had a plus in there, you'd pull out the one from the developer preview. Mm-hmm. And that could cause issues.
But if you're going to catch it at build time, isn't that, you know, up to you to fix it anyway?
Oh, when you sync the Gradle files, it comes up at the bottom and says you shouldn't be using plus.
Yeah.
That is one great thing with Gradle build system, is that all the support libraries are now versioned. So even if you do want to use the V19 version, you can do so. It's there. You just have to specify it. Whereas in the older Eclipse-based model, the support library is just this blob which downloaded, just a load of files downloaded to your SDK folder. And you'd have to manually import it.
Yeah.
Though there's like no version.
You had to create a libs directory and then add that as a... Yeah, it was nasty. Yep. All right. So it's tricky now, but hopefully it's less nasty than it used to be.
Yeah, it's one line you build build.gradle. It's worth it for the benefits.
Yeah. Okay. And any other tricks with using it?
No, not really. The main thing is with attributes, because a lot of the attributes we use, they're basically copies of the framework. So things like action bar style or whatever. But there's lots of attributes which we've copied so that they're all available from V7 onwards. So for instance, action bar style was added in V11. So we've had to copy that so that it's available in V7. So you just have to be careful of which attribute you actually use in your theme. Whether you use the outcompat version or the Android version. So you should be using the outcompat if you're using outcompat.
Well, this is something that's new with the version 21 support library, right? Before you had to define them both if you wanted the support.
Yeah, so it's kind of implementation detail in that with outcompat, we now, basically if you're using outcompat, then you are not using the framework action bar or toolbar at all. Outcompat actually disables them and it inflates its own, basically. Which is why we don't use the Android attributes for most stuff these days.
So for before the support library 21, was it using the system bar for...?
So previously it would use the, let's call it the backported action bar from, I think it was V13 before, so basically Honeycomb before, it would use its own internal version. And then V14 onwards, it would kind of shim, so it was always using the framework action bar, because it was there, it was available. And it had all the theming functionality we needed. Whereas now we've shifted that and we don't use the framework at all. There are reasons for this. The main one being that because of toolbar. So it's kind of hard to shim around a widget because it's a concrete view which you're going to inflate in your layouts. And it's hard to shim sort of the underlying implementation underneath. Like we couldn't shim to the framework version if you're sort of including the support version. So that's why we just said Big Bang approach, let's just use the support version everywhere.
So just in case people are confused, like the word shim is this magic word that we use a lot whenever we talk about support lib and the appcompat in particular, and the connotation that we give to it, I don't know if this is in the real world as well, is basically at the point where we detect that you're running on the version where we have the real functionality, we dive down into the real functionality. So the you're calling into an API that is a thin wrapper on top of platform or framework functionality, as opposed to if you're not running on that version and we don't have, you know, whatever that method call is, then we may have either a stubbed out implementation if we can implement it, or a copied over or otherwise sort of duplicated or mimicking implementation.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what V4 is full of. That's what it's sort of mainly grew into now, I'd say,
right.
Like view compat, activity compat, blah blah blah.
Yeah, so the recycler view implementation, when we were working on that in V7, I added item animations. In order to do those, I backported the view property animator. So now there's something called view property animator compat.
All the buzzwords.
Yeah. And now that's shimmed on top of Honeycomb or ICS to actually go down to platform capabilities directly. And then on prior versions, there is no shim because there's no framework support for that, so it's basically stubbed out. So you'll be able to call the methods, and it will do the right thing for that version, where the right thing is nothing on versions where it's perfect.
That means that there's a lot less API gating in people's code and a lot less if honeycombs and if all these all over the place that we used to have. So like, just makes code a lot more legible. It's made it a lot easier for developers generally with all these shims. And shimming around a widget, I didn't expect that in this podcast.
It's a good phrase.
Shimming around a widget.
Shimming around a widget. Yeah. Actually, there should be a dance and a song created around it. An entire movement, probably a religion, shimming around a widget. So there you go.
Well,
that was a detour.
Yeah, absolutely. A detour, a fake tour. Sorry, I didn't go there. So say these are app developers listening to the podcast. Say I'm an app developer of a news app. Maybe news 360 flip, flying, whatever it's called, board, just all the news apps put together. I'm a news app developer, and I've updated my app for all the previous set of design guidelines. Is there something using App Compat or otherwise I can do kind of minimally to get some of the lollipop goodness to support things like the new Nexus 6 and Nexus 9 coming out before I have a chance to redesign the entire app?
There's nothing really you need to do for Nexus 6, Nexus 9. They're all kind of evolutions of... So the Nexus 9 is, you know, it's the same kind of size bracket as the N10 or a sort of 10-inch tablet. And the N6, again, you could do stuff on landscape, but it's kind of still quite cramped, so it's still just a big phone.
But not specifically for the screen sizes, but in terms of getting some of the L benefits. That's why I mentioned those devices.
Oh, okay, just to get a bit. you can do quite a lot of stuff actually, just with minimal integration. So, if you include App Compat and then scale back your themes, so obviously change your parent to theme.appcompat dot whichever you want to use, light dark. And then set your color primary dark, and color accent, you'll get a pretty good looking app pretty easily, especially on Lollipop, because you'll have the status bar colored.
What about things like the activity animations and transitions? Maybe Chet knows that. Are there any of those that come in by default when you start targeting 21? Would you need to turn them on?
They are turned on by default if you are opting into the material theme, which you would be if you're running with the App Compat theme and you're running on Lollipop. Hmm. So activity transitions are enabled by default, but you need to actually do something about it if you want them to run within your activity. So let's say you're in your main activity, which is this fantastic news app, and you're going to click on the icon for a news story, and then you're going to go to a detail page, and you want to show that same icon, and you want more detail about that particular article. Then at that point, you could call into the Activity Transitions API to say, I'm going to share the following elements, I want to run the following transition, bundle it all up, launch the new activity with the bundle of transition information. That would be calling directly into platform APIs, because we don't have the, I assume App Compat did not backport the Activity Transition stuff.
No.
So at that point, you would specialize some code call into Lollipop.
So I could start with the color primaries, things like that, just to set the themes, and then maybe start playing around a bit with the activity transition, some of those things, if I wanted to get some of the extra Lollipop things. Test it out, make sure everything's still working fine.
Yep. That was the intention with becoming a material world, let's say, that you can opt in very easily to the theme and sort of get the basics. You will get the standard widgets that look correct in place, consistent with the other apps. And the home screen and everything else on the device. And then you can go and look at the spec and say, what else can I do here to make my app more material friendly? And some of those are animations. Some of them are the grid lines of how the spacing works and is more consistent in your application. A lot of that is just standard Android development, but aligning things according to how the material spec says you should do so. And a lot of them are new capabilities, like especially the new animation stuff that you would then call into. New path motion stuff, the new activity transitions, you know, state list animator, some of the new vector drawable stuff that's only on V21.
Excellent. If I could remember the name of my fictional All the News Apps app, I'd go and do it right now.
360 News
Pulse
Flip
news flying,
something. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Okay.
Material Girl.
Yes. Right.
Excellent. Sounds easy. 10 minutes, done.
Yeah. Yeah. So right after this podcast, you can go do that.
Just before I get sued.
All right, and all this stuff is available. We'll put links to your blogs. The release App Compat has been available since mid October or something.
Mid-October.
So that's up there already. Tools are updated whenever tools are updated. Tor could probably go into details on that.
Yep.
But he won't.
No need. It's all detailed there. Tools.android.com. It's amazing the detail we put on those pages. We're a very responsive team.
Okay. Anything else? Actually, so the other hat that you wear is DevRel. So what do you do when you're not actually hacking code on AppCompat and Palette?
Tor can probably talk more about this.
What Chris is supposed to be doing when he's not hacking on AppCompat. I think he joined about 2 years ago and pretty much did whatever he wanted to, which is good because he was an Android developer and what he wanted to do was help Android developers. But he's a... you didn't want me to talk about what Chris should be doing.
This is actually, it's a mixed bag today. We're going to have a podcast and a performance review.
Yeah. Of Chris's performance over the last 2 years.
This is news.
Developer relations in general at Google. Other than the conferences we've been doing recently, we've opened up a bit more and done some of the DroidCons this year. We were talking at DroidCon Berlin, DroidCon Holland, which will be coming up soon, DroidCon London. We had a few talks at, including the keynote. There's a few people heading over to DevOx. Chet and Nick will be keynoting DevOx. We're going to have some cardboards there on the stand and some other talks from the rest of the DevRel team over at DevOx. Did the big Android barbecue. I think Chet might have done that one as well. You've been getting out and about.
Yeah, it was sort of a strange sort of collection of things that happened right after the release. It was sort of a decompression as well as an outreach.
But really, the Android DevRel team, as it is, has been super quiet over the last few months, just producing all the materials that you've seen for the Android L release. The videos that go along with all the samples, the blog posts, the materials, working with the engineers, getting feedback, all the feedback from the developer previews that we had out there, coming back and making sure that that's addressed. And,
that preview was awesome. I like doing the preview this year, actually getting feedback on stuff while it's still in process and we have the ability to change it according to issues that people had.
Yes.
So hopefully developers appreciate it as well.
And hopefully we can iterate on that next time, make it even more useful. And we had some great feedback from developers on the developer preview.
Yep. That was good.
So what else do DevRel do then?
Other than all the stuff for Android, obviously we're not just Android DevRel. We are a wider DevRel team covering the open web, Chrome, all the other Google APIs as well. But I think in this context, we're talking mainly about the Android DevRel team.
Yeah, please. Yeah. And, so the other stuff that you do, though, is, there's the AppCompat, there's SupportLib, there's sort of writing core framework code, but you're also working on, samples and blog posts to explain how to do this stuff?
Samples and technical, we'll call it support, but it's kind of got a dirty word to it. It's not quite like the support you kind of think of. So it's more like stuff like Stack Overflow, blog posts, like technical, basically getting technical answers out there. And so the other stuff is samples and stuff like that.
Yeah. I know you wrote some of the material samples that we showed at I.O. that are hosted up on GitHub. Yeah. I have stolen them myself for some of the talks I've given. Actually, are those going to be updated to public L?
They will be, yes, if they haven't already by the time this gets released.
Okay. That'd be cool. Yeah, if you weren't going to, maybe I'd get around to doing it anyway. I know I need to update my own samples.
And there's always a constant roadmap of new features coming out. As you know, we've spoken about Android Wear before and the new features that are coming on Android Wear. Google Fits just launched recently, also covered by the Android DevRel team. The support library which launches. How often does the support library launch?
Tends to be tied to releases, like Android releases, so whenever Android gets released. Like roughly 6 months-ish.
Google Play Services, that's a bit more frequent.
Oh, I thought there was SDKs that went out with the tools or support library specific to major releases.
So the support library is versioned against the framework.
Yeah.
So they have V21, which is the new L1.
Yeah, okay.
They tend to go out with platform releases. Yeah. There are sort of in between bug fix releases, which gets pushed out.
Okay, but not actual feature releases for support.
They don't tend to be.
Right, okay.
And Udacity training courses. If you'd like to learn more about Android, you can always go to the Android Fundamentals Udacity course. It's free to take online.
Wow, that sounded like a canned ad. That was well done.
Should be.
I've been practicing that one.
Tor's got many hats.
My best accent. Tor has many hats. Mainly large ones.
All right, then. Anything else?
Nope.
No.
We like to close generally by having you say probably the cleverest thing you've ever thought of. Go. Thank you very much.
That went well.
That was my internal monologue. Did you not catch it? Thanks very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.